a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Peace is on commerce. It's nice to see that, Senator Rave. Okay, just want to make sure. Checking in on you. Senate Bill, this is, first of all, I am Chantel Krebs representing District 10. Senate Bill 103 is in response to the procedures of giving notices of those that have ownership of securities or equity in interest or money or property in regards to cooperatives. Specifically, this bill would pertain to most of the area that you would know of would be your telephone cooperatives, such as Alliance Comm or Alliance Communications, Golden West, and such. What Senate Bill 103 does, but before I proceed, I want to make sure that there is an amendment at your front desk there.
Yes, is that, well, no, I don't have that amendment. Thank you.
There we go. There
it is. The page is passing it out now.
Amendment 103 FA, and I'd like to just have that passed out for discussion purposes, please.
And go ahead and address that amendment, if you
would. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. What this bill does is really in response to. So what happens is if you're a member, such as myself, having been a member of Alliance Communication, you're a member of a co-op, and you are due, of course, corporate credits or capital credits. And if they cannot find you, if that cooperative supposedly cannot find you because they have moved, did not leave a forwarding address, this addresses that unclaimed property. And many of you were in the legislature when the state treasurer's office made some changes to the unclaimed property provisions in our statutes. What we're doing here is also mimicking or mirroring those similar provisions that the state treasurer's office posts, or should I say notifies those members. So the capital credits bill here specifically changes, as you can see, the wording that it'd be most effective, that it would be most pertaining to would be page 2 of how they actually and where they notify. It does say in previous years, they'd have to send out a letter. The co-op must advertise 4 times, at least 1 time per month in the weekly newspapers. There is making those changes. What the amendment that is before you does make a difference than what it says in the current proposed bill, is in response to House Bill 1270, which is a bill from the Office of the Governor. House Bill 1270 is making a change in Title 45 as well about unclaimed property. And those changes are moving the unclaimed property in Title 43 from 5 years to 3 years, and then also clarifying the weeks on there. And I'll let Greg Dean further clarify that for you. But what we're asking here is changes in the provisions and how we notify those members that have unclaimed property. It's obviously costly to the co-ops, and Greg Dean will further clarify that, and I appreciate your opportunity to listen.
Thank you, Senator Krebs. Further proponents of the bill?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Greg Dean. I'm the Director of Industry Relations for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. Senate Bill 103 is both a move to clarify the intent of the statute as well as a move towards efficiency. If you look back at the code site on the statutes that are referenced in Senate Bill 103, you will see that the original legislation was passed in 1939. Now, I've been around this body a long time, but I can honestly tell you I was not here in 1939. And the last time that this statute was updated was 1965. And at that time, the most important thing in my life was trying to find the rattle in my crib. What I'm saying is that there have been significant changes in both cooperatives and in terms of technology and in terms of how people transfer and share information and how that has changed in the last several decades. Since the 1930s, since the 1960s, cooperatives have grown in size and in area. For example, Golden West Telephone Cooperative, based in Wall, South Dakota, is one of the 5 largest telephone cooperatives in the nation. Their service area encompasses almost a third of South Dakota's geography. Depending upon the size and the individual decisions made by the cooperative board in terms of capital credit distribution back to the members. The cost with complying with the statutes in place in referenced in Senate Bill 103 can be somewhat significant, to the point where the cost of compliance either exceeds or in a lot of cases gets to the point of being half of whatever the capital credit forfeiture may be in terms of forfeiture back to the cooperatives. As indicated earlier, this is also a move towards efficiency. Currently, the Federal Communications Commission is moving down the path of bringing some very significant regulatory changes upon those entities that provide communication services. There will be significant changes in universal service funding for companies that serve high-cost areas of rural America, including places like rural South Dakota. There will be very significant changes to intercarrier compensation. Those are two of the three legs of the revenue stool that most of our members derive their revenues from. What I'm getting at is that my members are going to come under increasing revenue pressures going forward. Our belief is that Senate Bill 103 is a move to continue to allow these cooperatives to continue to put notification standards in place. We did not move to try to repeal these standards. We moved to in essence, mirror the standards that are currently in place with regards to at least what we saw as a parallel with regards to state government, that being the Unclaimed Property Division within the State Treasurer's Office. Our belief is that if the standard works for state government, our belief is that the state's cooperatives should not be held to a higher standard in terms of notification. Our original intent was, again, to mirror the statute that was in place. That is why the bill was originally drafted with a provision to have notification for two times in consecutive weeks. After introduction of House Bill 1270, which includes a provision that reduces that provision from twice to once, again, our belief is that if that is the standard that would be set forth for state government going forward, our belief is that the cooperatives should be held to a similar standard. With that, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, I don't have any other comments. I will stand by for questions, and I know there's at least one other proponent ready to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Further proponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Brenda Foreman, registered lobbyist and executive director for South Dakota Association of Cooperatives.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not going to repeat anything that Greg said, but more so of a ditto. This is important to not only the telephone cooperatives, but rural farm supply marketing co-ops as well, as we are required under those statutes to find the same thing. So finding the efficiencies, changing this methodology would be very beneficial, and we would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Foreman. Any other proponents for Senate Bill 103? Other proponents. Are there any opponents for Senate Bill 103?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, Mr. Chair. David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for South Dakota Newspaper Association. Rise as an opponent to the bill, although I must say I have talked extensively to Greg Dean and Senator Krebs about this, and we appreciate they've been very forthcoming with us, with myself, in terms of what they proposed here. So we've had a good chance to talk about that and really get a full understanding of the bill. In some respects, there are things we do like about the bill. The clarification that I think that makes it better in terms of understanding that these notices shall be published in a general newspaper circulation within their territory, which I think is a good thing. I think right now, from talking to some of our member newspapers, and I think Greg may echo that as well. There's been sometimes some confusion as to where it needs to be published in the newspaper versus in the co-op newsletter, that kind of thing. So I think this bill helps address that, and that's a good thing. I guess the real question is has to deal with, for you, is what is your comfort level in terms of how much notification should be provided by the cooperative? You know, going from 4 to 2, and now with the proposed amendment to 1, I think that's really the question before you. If I may, Mr. Vice Chair, I just have a...
Where are the pages passed this on? And what is it that you passed?
This is just a sample ad that has run, I think it's Kingsbury Electric Cooperative, has published in the DeSmit News. I just wanted to bring it for you so you see what we're talking about in terms of the notification that is published in the newspaper.
All right, thank you.
Just so you have a sense of what that looks like and what it is. And obviously, as Mr. Dean said, some electric cooperatives run a very large ad with lots of names on it. And this one obviously isn't. This is a much smaller ad, but sometimes it can get very large with lots of names listed on that. The amendment refers to that has been brought refers to House Bill 1270, which deals with unclaimed property through the state. And one of the reasons for the change in House Bill 1270 to change the publication requirements there is dealing with the fact that bill is proposing to move from 5 years to 3 years the time frame before property held by the state is considered abandoned. So what they're looking at is an incredible increase in the number of names, property listings coming onto the state's unclaimed property list by moving from 5 years to 3 years. And so the state treasurer is trying to deal with that in terms of his publication and his budget that he deals with publication of unclaimed property. And so that's why he's making a change in House Bill 1270. Consequently, I think, you know, you see here that's why the proponents are trying to mirror that change that's coming in House Bill 1270. I'll stand by for questions. But again, I think the question really comes down to for you folks is in terms of your comfort level, in terms of how much notification should be needed. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, David. Any other opponents to Senate Bill 103? Seeing no further opponents, if Senator Krebs would have a rebuttal to the opponent.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Just a further clarification on the concern that had been shared with by the Newspaper Association. We appreciate his support on the clarification as far as defining it and his support saying, you know, we do need some clear definition of where it's to be posted at, specifically in the newspaper. His concern was, of course, for those folks that, you know, that are out there. Just a reminder that most of these folks are folks that the co-ops have not heard from in 6 years. So the number is 6 years. Secondly, the co-ops are still sending letters out to last known address of those particular members. Third, they are still posting it in the newsletter. Lastly, they will still be providing it just like the state treasurer does in that newspaper. So that your decision is that enough notification for someone that they have not heard from in 6 years. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And if you just remain there, any questions of Senator Krebs? Senator Lederman? Okay, well, I have one for Senator Chantel. Senator, this bill, Senate Bill 103, would appear to me to also affect ag cooperatives, your local grain elevators and those. Have you had, in your discussion of this bill and bringing this forward, have you talked with them do they have any concerns?
Mr. Vice Chair, I believe Brenda Foreman was up here sharing those concerns on behalf of the South Dakota Association of Co-ops.
Mm-hmm. To make that clear, that includes all the co-ops, the ag co-ops, the rural electric co-ops, et cetera. Thank you. Any other questions of the committee for opponents or proponents? Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, it's a question for Mr. Dean.
Mr. Dean, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dean, could you give some perspective how much money we're talking about on an annual basis?
Mr. Chair, It varies widely, Senator Johnston. In some cases, depending upon the size of the cooperative, it could be $10,000, $20,000, maybe more, depending upon the size of the cooperative. In some cases, it's $1,500. It all depends upon the size of the cooperative in question, as well as the amount of forfeiture that the board seeks to bring back into the coffers of the cooperative, and how much they want to leave out on their books, so to speak. So to quantify it on an individual basis, all I can tell you is that it varies widely.
Thank you. Any other questions, Senator Lederman?
So when you Mr. Dean, when you say that amount, are you talking about that's the cumulative amount of capital credits that they have throughout the year, or is that one single check that might go out?
Mr. Chairman, I guess the best way to respond to that is that capital credits are typically returned to patrons over time. They may get a portion of, say, the 2003 credits may be paid this year, as well as a portion of the 2010 credits, for example. And so if the cooperative cannot find the patron that is due the credits from 2003, for example, that would again stay on the books, until those credits are deemed to not be a liability and then would come back into the coffers under this forfeiture process.
Go ahead.
So the question is, what's the average amount per individual check?
Per individual?
Average.
Again, it all depends upon the profitability of the cooperative. If you're a residential customer doing an average amount of business with a cooperative on the telephone side, I'm going to guess it's $100 more or less, give or take.
Go ahead, another follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Dean, on an average size company, if we're talking about Kingsbury Electric or some of these other players, I know that I don't know if you have intimate knowledge of that, but what are we talking about per year? Are we talking about 5, 10, 20 different individuals that are looking at getting checks for that amount? And would by passing this, are we disenfranchising a large group of people, or are we just trying to skinny up on the costs for publications?
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I guess my response is I don't think we're disenfranchising a large number of people because, as Senator Krebs alluded to early, currently under statute, the cooperative, before they even move forward with the forfeiture process, before we even get to the point of advertising, a letter has to be mailed to the last known address. And so advising them that they have credits available to them and that those credits have not been claimed. Then you move forward with the advertising provisions, and then after those statutory provisions have been satisfied, only then can the cooperative bring those capital credits back into the coffers.
Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Dean? If not, then I would like to call Brenda Foreman back for a moment. I have a question. She left, of course. My concern, and I'll just present, throw this out there, and then Senator Krebs or Mr. Dean or anyone else could try to answer this. You know, another important thing in addition to the annual credits or dividends, which you usually a somewhat small amount, depending upon how much business you do with your local cooperative, is at the time that someone passes on, and especially in the case of farmers who have done business in the local cooperative throughout their lives, how do you see this impacting that situation where the legatees have moved off the farm, they're coming from California or someplace else, and they may be moved off at a time long before they really learn the farming business and may or may not be aware of the fact that there's several thousand dollars that should go into the estate. Mr. Dean, perhaps you could comment on that.
Mr. Chairman, let me take a stab at that question. I think the best way to respond to that is that each cooperative set of bylaws addresses, I think, the situation that you just alluded to in terms of capital credits that may be due a patron that has passed away. And I think that's, again, that's dealt with on an individual cooperative situation. Each cooperative has a set of bylaws that addresses this situation. I know, for example, one of the member cooperatives in our association allows for the return of the capital credits to the estate of a deceased patron early, before they would typically be paid out under normal circumstances, albeit there would also be a penalty provision attached to that because they would be paid out ahead of time in terms of the estate, for example. But again, that's an individual decision that each board makes, and in terms of how each cooperative's bylaws are set up, so it could be different between my own member telephone cooperatives. It could be different among the ag cooperatives as well.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Any other questions of opponents or proponents? Hearing none. Any committee discussion or action? Senator Rave.
I would move the amendment 103FA.
Moved by Senator Rave, seconded by Senator Adelstein. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The ayes have it. It's so amended. Now, any further discussion or action as to Senate Bill 103 as amended? Senator Adelstein moves to pass, seconded by Senator Rave on Senate Bill 103. Any comments, Senator Adelstein?
No, I think we've had a very clear explanation
that this serves the interests of those that are involved in the co-op. Any further discussion? Thank you. Will the Secretary please call the roll?
Adelstein?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Unanimous vote on Senate Bill 103. Any further motions?
Move consent.
Move consent by Senator Adelstein.
I withdraw my motion.
We'll withdraw that motion. Thank you, Senator. We had some opposing testimony, so we'll not do a consent on that. And perhaps if Senator Adelstein will take that to the floor, or to the caucus. Thank you. Oh, Krebs is bill, and Krebs will be in the caucus, of course. It's the advantage of having a rather large caucus. At any rate, Senate Bill, we've now taken everything above the line here, and now Senate Bill 11 comes back to us. And this is a bill to authorize the Governor's Office of Economic Development to create and administer a working capital loan and grant program, and is brought to us by the Committee on Commerce and Energy at the request of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. And good morning, Cody, if you'd state your name.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. Cody Byram with the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Senate Bill 11 has been before this committee previously. Just a quick update. Senate Bill 11 provides the administrative vehicle for the South Dakota Works program, which is a new program that's designed to help small businesses with working capital needs. We remain proponents of the bill in its current form. We understand that there are some amendments, and we look forward to the opportunity to discuss each of those. Before I conclude, I'd like to bring up some clarification points on subjects that were discussed during the last committee hearing for the bill. The first point is on the grant language that you can find within the bill. The current agreement that we have with the Department of Treasury, which supervises the use of these funds, does not allow us to use grant dollars. So we are prohibited under our current agreement with the Department of Treasury from using grant dollars. Now, if we, after 5 years, successfully administer the program by meeting the leverage requirements and the self-sustaining requirements, then the federal supervision of those funds are turned over to the state, and it's at that time that we would have the ability to do grant dollars if that was the decision. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear to the committee. The second item I'd like to clarify is the reason for the bill. The governor, under South Dakota Codified Law 4.8.17, has the authority to administer federal funds. The South Dakota Works program could operate under this authority alone. However, the governor's Office of Economic Development believes that bringing this legislation to further define the program was the best way to be open and also allow the legislature to be part of a program to help small businesses. Another point I'd like to clarify is the discussion around the leverage ratio. That was also another Department of Treasury requirement, that for every dollar of South Dakota Works program funding that goes into projects, that there be a $10 match with private dollars, whether that's a bank or equity. That requirement is based on the total loan portfolio at the end of the five-year program. So we are allowed under Treasury and actually encouraged from them to do loans with lesser ratios but shorter terms, so that as that money comes back in, we can relend it out again a second time to meet the 10-to-1 ratio. So they look at the total loan portfolio at the end of 10 years to make sure that we met the 10-to-1 ratio. The last point I'd like to bring some clarification on is the supervision of funds under the South Dakota Works program. There was some discussion about why we didn't go through one of our formalized boards, such as the Board of Economic Development. The reason for that is primarily because this is a new program. Our office didn't have a lot of experience working with working capital loans. We wanted to put together a loan review committee that had some members that did have that experience that could give us some good guidance. Currently, the boards that we do have, we don't really have anyone with that particular subject matter expertise. Part of the Treasury agreement that we have allowed us to put together a loan committee, and that's the way that we're doing it. We're trying to be as timely and responsive as possible for the small businesses that would be applying for these funds. The review committee can meet at any time, can meet at the call of the lead lender, and we also have board members from our current boards on our loan review committee, so that we do have some representation there. The other point I'd like to make is that we get these funds in three disbursements. We've already got the first, and there's two more. We only have 2 years to request the final disbursement. After you obligate 80% of each disbursement, you're allowed to apply for the next disbursement. So we are under a two-year time window to get those funds out into the economy, out to small businesses. So that's why we wanted to set up a program that could be as timely and responsive as possible. Now, there is a lot of supervision of this program under the current laws. The Department of Treasury audits us. We have to submit reports to them. The Department of Legislative Audit, the legislature's branch, has supervision over those funds as well and performs audits. The Appropriations Committee receives a report on the status of the funds. Government Operations and Audit Committee can request information about the funds. And then finally, the records of the loans are already public record under South Dakota Codified Law 127.1.3. And we currently maintain a web page that lists information about all of our loan programs, including this one, where you could go in, see the borrower, the amount of the loan, the date it was awarded. And that's all out there right now. So we feel like there's plenty of people with their eyes on this, and it's a well-supervised program. So with that, I'll stand by for any questions or discussion.
Thank you, Cody. I think we're going to hold questions until after we see the amendments. We have a couple more proponents, if they would come forward. new fund. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson. I have the good fortune of working for a growth initiative in Northeast South Dakota called Absolutely Aberdeen. In the off season from the legislative season, I get the good fortune of working with development groups, businesses, all kinds of entities trying to grow in Northeast South Dakota. Working capital is definitely one of those items that we have been challenged with. I've also had the good fortune of working with nearly every one of the state's economic development tools, as well as nearly every one of the local economic development tools afforded to them. This is definitely a need. We applaud the Governor's Office of Economic Development for taking advantage of this federal opportunity and understand the care and feeding that it takes to do this appropriately in Senate Bill 11. We'll stand by for any questions, and we support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julie. And further proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce, just here to reiterate our continuing support for the bill. Thank you.
There we go.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Kurt Everson on behalf of the membership of the South Dakota Bankers Association. Just want to, as we did before when this bill was in committee, express our support for this measure to try and add one more piece, usable piece to the financing puzzle for trying to get small new businesses started. So we support the legislation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Everson. Further proponents, I see another one out there.
Mr. Chairman, I was holding off till I saw some amendments.
Okay. Fine. With that, any opponents to Senate Bill 11? Senator Adelstein. Pages will help pass out these.
Just for a minute.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen of the committee, I'm going to take off my badge because I'm not appearing here today as a senator. I'm appearing today as a former adjunct professor at the School of Mines, where managing a large business, I taught a class in business organization and management for engineers who are not generally involved in business. That was an undergraduate course. As well, I taught a graduate course, a team teaching with the chairman of the Black Hills Corporation, Mr. Owen's father, who was the then chairman of the largest South Dakota corporation. In that process, I learned a great deal, and I have sort of followed the academics of business management since that time. This bill will work, no question about it. I must point out to you, this bill, I don't know if anyone knew that it was modeled. It is a perfect mirror of the process that is now used in China, and we all know how well they've grown. I'm going to pass out a balance. I'm going to pass out a copy of a balance sheet for you to look at. It was sort of an interesting example for me because a good business in South Dakota or a small business that could grow would be the lumber business. We have trees. We have a market, and I happen to, as part of my company. That I'm the CEO of, Northwestern Engineering Company, has a subsidiary called Hills Products Group, and one of the members of that group is the McLaughlin Sawmill in Lawrence County. So I took, in order to show you what the effects of this bill without any amendments would be, I put down the numbers at McLaughlin to give you an idea. Somewhat in the same proportions, but the totals are hidden to protect the innocent. And then I took this bill that is before us and made a balance sheet before the grant before the idea of a grant. So if we look at that for a moment, we see a company that has to have current assets, in other words, working capital, to have cash for operations, to handle accounts receivable, finished inventory, raw logs, royalty on the logs, and so on. So it has to have working capital. They also have to have equipment, and then they have liabilities below. So now we go to the Chinese model. I use that term for lack of a better one because that's what's going on in China. And in China, similar companies are established. The establishment generally protects senior members of the Communist Party, who we call them, I guess they have a name for them, they call them the princes, who of the earlier, the people who helped start the revolution. And so they come forward with something like the second model. They don't obviously have enough assets to cover their working capital, as you see in the model, none at all. So what they end up doing is having a company that wouldn't function. But as provided and as was mentioned in the earlier testimony, the first time this bill came before us, there's a suggestion that the working capital could be furnished at a ratio of 2-to-1. 2-to-1. In other words, one-third input from the people who would be owning the operation and trying to do the business and perhaps competing with McLaughlin, which is fine with me because I know other small sawmills come and go. But where will they get the money? What they could do is they then would either get a grant or a loan. But let's assume now the grant, because the bill provides for a grant. That's one of the amendments would be remove the possibility of grants. Now, all of a sudden, we find on a 2-to-1 grant, oh, my goodness, they've now come up with $170,000, which is, of course, on the 2-to-1, is one-third of the new net worth or capital of the company. So now all of a sudden they're in business. Not only that, but once that happens, they are able to get some credit by starting their business, working capital. In fact, I had in the model earlier even a loan or two. So then exactly as was proposed, this would have an ability to create business in a totally, to my mind, both unethical and anti-modern capitalist manner. That's the reason I rise as an opponent to the bill as now drawn. And then there is one other reason that troubles me. For those of us who heard Senator Thune last Saturday talk about the terrible straits that we are in the United States, I would be surprised that the South Dakota administration would seek a grant from the federal government which further extends the debt that we are facing in the country. This is a terrible economic concept. But as we all know, this administration has been seeking to put money out wherever they could, hoping that they would change the economy, and they might. But I really wish that we wouldn't have all of that $13 million, which is another reason why I'm an opponent of this bill in any form. But I would hope that someone who's a member of the committee, maybe a senator, would offer amendments at least to cure the faults that I've already proposed. Obviously, I'm available for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Adelstein. Further opponents to the Senate Bill 11? All right. We've heard the statement that there are some amendments that will be offered. I'd like to know if it's from the proponents or the opponents, and if so, I think this would be a proper time to move to bring forth amendments for consideration.
Mr. Chairman,
Go ahead, Mr. Senator Elstead.
To being a senator, I would. I have five amendments, and I think probably the best thing we can do would be to introduce them in separately and vote on them separately. If that's permitted.
Certainly, I think that's what we should do.
If you would please distribute this, and then I'll speak to them after they're. I'll make right now Senate Amendment 11RA. I'll let you all see it and then see if I get a second for discussion, if nothing more.
Senator Adelstein, if you would... if you would take the stand and tell us about Senate Bill 11 RA amendment. Seconded by Rave. Moved by Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Rave. Could you please address that?
The amendment deals with that part of the bill that provides the draft. Now, I understood the testimony that said that there's a prohibition in the present agreement with the Treasury. I'm not sure with my... I'm sorry. I understand that the proponents of the bill in its present form said that grants are prohibited with the present agreement. But I think we all know, depending on the pressures and the political influence that come to bear, that agreements can be changed. And in fact, even if they weren't changed, it would be 5 years before this would be an issue. I think for us to establish a law, a bill, a program, based on what might or might not be the pleasure of the legislature 5 years from now is unfortunate, and I really don't think we should bind ourselves in that. So if we have this law at all, it certainly should be for what it was proposed to be, for loans only, if I may.
Thank you.
That's my position on this amendment.
All right. Just before we vote on this amendment, I would like to see Cody Byram come back up and respond to that amendment from the Governor's Office of Economic Development to see what your take is on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Governor's Office of Economic Development would oppose this amendment. Senator Adelstein is correct in that this really wouldn't be an issue until 5 years from now, assuming we met all the federal requirements, and it would just give us that flexibility at that time. Having said that, this amendment would not hurt the South Dakota Works program as it is written now. So that would continue. We'd be able to make loans. That program would be able to survive this amendment. However, I'd just like to point out some of the other states around us and the amount of grant dollars that they have for the purposes of economic development, just to give you an idea of what we're up against when it comes to competing. Wyoming has $23.6 million annually of granting authority. Nebraska has $20 million. Iowa has $87.7 million of grants. And Minnesota has $16.5 million of grants. You know, in the economic development world, we kind of have the short stick when it comes to that ability, and that's simply why we wanted to be able to help compete in that game.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
May I ask a question?
Certainly.
States that you're talking about, are those grants for working capital only, or are they for grants in general?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Senator, I don't know for sure.
I happen to be aware that they're not.
Okay.
They're grants for either capital or buildings and items on the second portion of the balance sheet that distributed. But I think that was a – thank you. May I ask another question? In your
follow-up, go ahead.
Which deals actually with a question I just asked. in your talking points, you suggested one of the advantages of this program is it would let me get this for you. Oh, in how it works, you say listing the business purposes including, in the last line, purchase, construction, reservation, or tenant improvements of eligible place of business. That's not working capital. That's fixed capital, unless you can explain to me how making passive real estate investment is can become working capital. That goes back to my other job as a teacher.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I understand your point, Senator. I can tell you that those specific ones listed are allowed in our Treasury agreement. Construction loans are one of those that we're going to try to push. And you'll also see that community development finance institutions are eligible too.
Any further questions of Mr. Byram? Hearing no further questions, any discussion and or action on proposed Senate Bill 11RA amendment? We had it, we're ready for a vote, and you're calling roll call? Roll call vote requested. If you would please call the roll. The motion was to amend by Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Rave. And if the secretary would call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Rave?
No.
Nygaard?
We missed Nelson, I think.
No.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Okay, 4-2.
Senate Bill 11RA amendment, having received a majority of the votes, is considered amended. Any further amendments to consider?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like to distribute amendment number 11RD. No, I'm going to use this one here. Thank you. Hand these out, please.
We're going to have to pick up our speed on this a little bit, too. We're going to run out of time, so let's move.
Okay, very quickly, what the Senate
that.
Does is limits the grants or loans. Oh, no, we've now eliminated grants. This limits the loans to the 10% that were advertised. I think, as you saw from the balance sheet I handed out, I think the 2-to-1, which was proposed in the first hearing, is really inappropriate. And as long as it's supposed to take 5 years to average out to that position, then I don't like that 5 years. That means the first period they can be done in any amount, even 2-to-1.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move amendment RD.
Second, and moved by Senator Alstein, seconded by Senator Buell. I would like to hear from Cody Byram on this, because I heard that same testimony the other day about the 2-to-1, and I think possibly we're looking at this out of context. So if you could please see if you can shed some light on that.
If I could interrupt real quickly. If Senator Adelstein has a bunch more amendments, why don't we have the pages hand them out?
Put them all out now.
I'd say yep. Let's get them out, and then we can...
We're going to be reviewing them as we listen here.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Senator Byram.
Thank you for the promotion.
I just promoted you there. I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Mr. Byram, yeah, maybe not.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Governor's Office of Economic Development would oppose this amendment. This could have an effect on the current working capital program to kill the program, so to speak. The example that was brought up in the first committee hearing of 2-to-1 was an extreme example. I can't think of a situation where that would be very common. What we have to do at the end as I mentioned in my testimony earlier, at the end of the 5 years, we have to show that the blended rate is 10 to 1. So there are companies that would come in, say, for a construction loan, and that's a shorter-term loan. That means we could do a shorter or a smaller leverage rate that allow us to get the funds out, get them back in, and re-lend them again to another potential business. This kind of amendment would reduce the amount of interest from both the banks and from the businesses that would apply for it, and that's why we would oppose this amendment.
Thank you very much. Further discussion on this motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
You know, that's exactly the point. First of all, the bill calls for a working capital loan, and now we're hearing about construction loans. I must tell you that I served on the first economic... In 1960, I was on the transition team for Senator Gubrud, and we started something called IDEA, Industrial Development Expansion Agency. And I served on that first board. I also served on the Ready Fund board at the appointment and behest of Governor Janklow, because this is exactly the sort of abuse that he wanted to be sure didn't happen. Ready has funds available and can make construction loans. There's no way that we can pretend that a construction loan is a working capital loan. Working capital is defined as assets, as an asset that is marketable within 12 months by any definition. Yeah. So that's the reason I think 10% is very adequate.
I, the chair would just like to make a comment on this amendment. You know, it was my understanding from the prior hearing on this bill that what we were in the Governor's Office of Economic Development is doing is setting up a new fund to help generate new enterprises in the great state of South Dakota, separate and distinct from the Ready Fund that was just mentioned by Senator Adelstein. And I'm... You know, there are restrictions on Ready Fund loans. You have to have, you only get so much per employee and on and on, a lot of hoops to jump through. And this is designed to provide for some rather rapid growth in our economy. And so I think it's different. But at this point, I'm going to limit any further discussion to this amendment because we have, why don't you stay there? We have three more amendments after this. We've had it moved and seconded with, if all those in favor of Senate Bill 11 are, roll call is requested. So, Secretary, please call the roll on 11RD amendment.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Johnston? Lederman? Rave?
No.
Nelson?
No.
Nygaard?
No.
Johnston? Two yes, four no.
Senate Bill 11, RD amendment, having failed to receive a majority, is deemed to have failed. Next amendment, please. Yes, Mr. Adelstein. Senator Adelstein. Moved by Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Nelson. Comments on Senate Bill 11RC, please.
Thank you very much. During the first hearing on this bill in committee, it was suggested that Mr. Miller and others were on a committee of South Dakota Works, and that the bill, when it came to them, the bill that came. That if the loan was applied for and it came to that committee, they would approve or disapprove it. In the questioning period, I learned that that isn't true, that they are only, as it was stated, an advisory committee, and that the final decision rests with the Secretary of GOED or the Governor, who appoints the Secretary. I don't like that model.
as against the Chinese model. And I think that this committee is an excellent idea, and the members now appointed are outstanding. The legislature will confirm them, and that's the reason for this amendment. It could give legislative oversight for $13 million.
Thank you, Senator Adelstein. Now, Cody Byram, if you would please respond to that on behalf of the office, Governor's Office of Economic Development.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We would oppose this amendment. For the reasons I pointed out earlier, there is a tremendous amount of legislative oversight on this program as it sits today. I'd also point out that in the amendment, the second sentence says no grant may be made without the express approval. Since the granting authority has just been removed, I don't see the need for this amendment anymore.
Thank you, Mr. Byram. Anyone else, opponent or proponent in the audience today that wants to testify on this amendment? If not, I'd open it to discussion. Well, wait a minute. This has already been moved. We're moving rather quickly here, so we're going to call a secretary.
May I just make one point?
Yes, go ahead. Follow up.
He is quite correct, and when it goes to the floor, it will be no loan. It will be in fact, right now, if I may, I would give a substitute amendment with all of the provisions except where the word grant appears. It will be no loan.
Are you referring, Senator Adelstein, are you referring to 11RC?
RC, yes.
And what do you want to add?
Just simply in the third line where it says no grant may be made, that substitute, therefore, no loan. Substitute the word loan for grant. And that would be a substitute amendment, which I hope would be seconded, and that's what we'd vote on first.
Moved by Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Nelson. So now the 11RC, which has also been moved and seconded before and since it was changed, to no loan may be made without the express approval of this new committee that this amendment would create. So all those in favor of this amendment signify by saying aye. All those,
roll call, please.
Roll call is called. Roll call. Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Johnston?
No.
Rave?
No.
Nelson?
No.
Nygaard?
No.
2-4. Fails.
Senate Bill 11, RC amendment, having failed to receive a majority votes, is failed. Next amendment. We have another amendment
here. In the interest of time, I'll bring the other amendments to the floor. I just need to bring the one amendment to a title change to strike the word grant. And I think I have that out as something.
Hey, has anyone got a copy of that title amendment? The page can find it and pass it around.
I'm not finding it.
Okay, let's do that on the fly. Huh? We'll wait to see if it passes or fails. Senate Bill 11, having been amended by by 11RA. So. At this point, we're ready for discussion and or action on Senate Bill 11 as amended. Any discussion or action? Senator Rave.
I move do pass as amended.
Senator Rave moves do pass as amended, seconded by Senator Johnson. Would the Secretary please call the roll?
Adelstein?
No.
Buell? Johnston?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
5-1.
Senate Bill 11, as amended, having received a positive a majority vote of the senators present on this committee is deemed passed, and we'll move to the floor on a do pass motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Senator Nelson.
I move title amendment to strike the words "and grant" from the title.
Second. Title amendment moved by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Rave. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. The title is amended. At this point, we've cleaned up our calendar. We're at the end of the day. I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Senator Rave, seconded by Senator Nygaard. All those, Johnson moved. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Good job.
Thank you.